You're listening to a resource from the Finding Truth Conference, an apologetics event hosted by Cedarville University and sponsored by the North American Mission Board and Crossings Ministries. The event took place in February of 2017 on the campus of Cedarville University in Cedarville, Ohio. We pray this resource is an encouragement to you as you stand for the faith once for all delivered to the saints.
Hey ladies, how are you today? Welcome, welcome. Okay, I have a question. I recognize a lot of you. A lot of you guys are Cedarville students. Is there anybody that's not a Cedarville student? Welcome. Well, we are so glad to have you today with us. My name is Erin Shaw, and the message we're going to be talking about today is entitled Starbucks and Forever 21, College-Age Women and Apologetics. Now, I cannot claim let's just say this. I didn't name it. I'm not that creative. That was Dan DeWitt, who's over. He works in our Bible department, and he is over everything. And so he left me with a very creative problem here because I needed to find out how I could fit this in talking about apologetics because I think it was left to me. I'm just not creative. I probably would have just said something like college-age women and apologetics, the end. So I'm glad he added that. So I don't know if that brought you into it, but I do have a question. How many of you plan, or how many have you have been to Starbucks in the past month? Okay, oh, okay, good. So that's probably like about at least a third of people in this room. How many people plan on going to a Starbucks in the next month? Especially, yeah, okay, over spring break, we're all going to be home. Okay, I'm pretty sure I have the same plans as you. And how many of you guys have been to the mall in the past month? Okay, yeah. And how many plan on going to the mall next month? Yeah, okay, I'm with you. So I think we can agree that both of these things are pretty common experiences for women. And what I want you to see is that apologetics is not just for people who are in the Ivy Leagues, who are in Ivy League colleges. It's not just for people with a podium. It's for women who are having everyday experiences. Like, you might be going to a Starbucks over break and doing some homework, and you might find yourself having to share a table with somebody who's studying at the local college down the road. You might find yourself at a mall forced to be doing small talk in line with somebody. Apologetics is for you. And so I just want to encourage you in that way. And another observation I want to make, I have been doing college ministry with young women for over a decade. And it has been my observation that we like to talk a lot about emotions. Would you say that that's pretty accurate? Yeah. And I think we've done a really good job of training our hearts to love God. But what I think, and we sing songs about it, don't we? About our hearts loving God. We do art about our feelings and emotions towards God. But one thing that I don't think we have paid as much of attention to is our minds. And so that is something that Scripture calls us to do. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we are told to love God with all of our hearts and all of our minds. And so for Christian women, I want to see us to be better at this, to train our minds. And a lot of you are at Cedarville, and you're getting Bible minors. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful you have the opportunity to do that here. So I hope that this will encourage you to learn about these things even more, and to train your mind even more. Part of training includes knowing what we believe about God and how to defend that belief. God's word has answers, and I want to suggest to you that God's word has the best answers for all of life. My sisters in this room, God is calling us to be a bold and a public witness of our faith. And I hope that today you will see a case for that being made, and also to have some tools to walk away with that. So there's several things I want to accomplish in the course of our time together. These are the three things. I want to hopefully stir your thinking, to give you tools to interact with the culture, and I want to give you a map that tells you where you are and where you might go to solidify some of those beliefs. And we're going to do that by addressing three questions. The first question is, how are apologetics helpful to college women? How do I engage the culture with apologetics? And what are the tools in my toolbox? All right, so how are apologetics helpful to college women? In other words, why should I care about defending my faith? So we're going to look at this in terms of as believers, as college-age women, as women, and then as college-age women. So as believers, I want to go back to my opening point about training our hearts to love God, which we are really good at, but sometimes we kind of fail at this, and we have let how we feel about God and his word dictate what we think is true about God and his word. And this is a terrible way to live, because how we feel about things changes. I went to bed really late last night, and so I don't feel that great today. If I'm hungry, I'm not feeling that good. So emotions are not something we can really base our belief system on. So knowing apologetics is going to help us in terms of having emotional stability. Knowing things about God can be an anchor for us, and especially when our emotions are starting to sway, we can go back to truth and back to knowing that this is the most reasonable way to live in this world. Another thing that apologetics will help us do is alleviate doubts about our faith. In a room like this, I really do believe that a lot of us in here have probably at one point in our life struggled with doubts about our faith. I know that I have before, whether or not I was even saved, whether or not this was really the true thing. We've all had to wrestle. And if you're a believer, you've come to this point of saying, yes, this is the way. But you might have just had some things that come up that have really challenged your faith. And we can see this in the experience of John the Baptist when he's the cousin of Jesus, and he had done all of this ministry for Jesus. He had gone ahead of him. He had been preaching. He was the prophet that preached repentance and baptism, and he found himself one day sitting in a jail cell questioning whether or not Jesus was the promised Messiah. And Jesus was not afraid of his question. He addressed it head on, and he encouraged him. He said, look at the evidence. Look at the evidence that the blind are receiving their sight, the lame are walking, lepers are cleansed, the deaf are hearing, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. He said, look at the evidence. And so John helped alleviate John's doubts. But let me just note this for you, is that John's the Baptist questions were aimed at the source of all truth, which is Jesus. And so that's an important thing, that the direction of his questions were aimed at who Jesus, at Jesus. And Jesus answered that because he is the truth. He is the truth. So knowing apologetics may be something that will help you one day down the road when something challenges your faith. Maybe you find yourself in a metaphorical jail in your life in the sense that you had a circumstance that happened that has just been really painful, especially painful. So that's going to be something that will help alleviate doubts. Now, number three, when we learn apologetics, we will have an increased confidence in what we believe is true, and therefore we will have an increased boldness in sharing our belief with others. I mean, if we are sold out that this is right, this is true, this is the best way, we are just going to let everybody know. Think about the woman at the well that Jesus went to, and she had this dialogue about him, about worshiping in spirit and truth, and she went and she told the whole village, oh, he told me everything I ever did. She was bold in sharing about the fact that she had met the Messiah. And this is what happens when we encounter God and we have confidence that he is who he says he is. And when we share apologetics, we will be being obedient to God's word that tells us to go out and make disciples. So it'll result in obedience, that we are fulfilling the Great Commission. We are helping tear down arguments that set themselves up against the knowledge of God, and we'll be tearing those down. We'll have prepared a word in and out of season, and we'll be ready to talk to people about our faith. So those are just some general things as believers we can experience. But how about as women? How are apologetics helpful to me as a woman? So I'm going to give you a couple more points here. So as women, we have a unique relatability to other women. We have ability to speak truth to the experiences and needs of other women. So maybe a woman is doubting God's existence because every man in her life has abandoned her. You might know this woman. How important would it be in that moment to be able to explain Jesus' sinlessness and his faithfulness? Maybe you will meet a woman one day who doesn't believe God is real because she's been struggling with infertility and feels like a good God would give her a child. Well, how important would it be to demonstrate God's love for us and giving up his own son, the son that he loves, in order to make us his children? Maybe you might meet a woman one day who doesn't see a need for God because her constant pursuit of beauty overshadows that desire. So she has replaced that pursuit with the pursuit of outward beauty. How important then would it be to know the greater purpose of life, that you serve God, because your outward looks will not last forever, but a relationship with God will. So these are important things. We can relate to these experiences that women are going through, and we can be able to speak to them. And as women, we have unique access to other women. We can speak to women just really simply without them thinking we're hitting on them. I mean, there's not going to be a lot of blurred lines there. There might be some, but probably not as common. It doesn't compromise our integrity. Depending on what country we might be working in, also, we might have solely access to women and not the opposite gender. Women also tend to be more open with other women. So this is something that we can really tap into for evangelism's sake. And as women, we have a unique apologetic in that we are able to display a biblical paradigm of womanhood that demonstrates the veracity of Scripture. And we get this from Titus 2. It says, "Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled." So look at how we can defend our faith by living a faithful life. And how many things on that list, when I read Titus 2, 3 through 5, did I read that sounded so countercultural? How we live will be so different than the world that people will ask us questions about it. But living a life, a good life, is not going to be enough. That's why we're at this conference, right? We actually have to open our mouths and speak about Jesus and who that is. So, and we will get to some of that in just a minute. But we are able to teach women about the timeless truth in God's word in this way. And let's see here. Apologetics and a theistic worldview helps to explain various roles women find themselves in. So a robust understanding of Scripture will help women to understand the places that they find themselves in. And so apologetics will help us to be better cultural influencers. It will help us to be better single women. It will help us to be better wives. It will help us to be better mothers. It will strengthen the understanding of our call. Being familiar with a theistic worldview, one about God, will help us to see singleness. So let's talk about single ladies, because I'm a single woman in here. And so this will help us to see singleness not as a social disease to be cured or used for selfish reasons, but as a good gift that allows freedom to serve the Lord. And this new covenant, it paints a picture of waiting for Christ, who is coming for his bride. So that is a good thing. And it will make us a better wife. Just yesterday, I want to show you this quote that this has been all over the news. If you're in the news, Scarlett Johansson said this in an interview about marriage. She said, "I think the idea of marriage is very romantic. It's a beautiful idea. And the practice of it can be a very beautiful thing," said the actress. "I don't think it's natural to be a monogamous person. I might be skewered for that, but I think it's work. It's a lot of work." So let's just break down what she said a little bit. This is an example of a very popular woman. She's in the Marvel movies. I mean, people know her name. She's famous. And this is a popular idea that's out there for women about marriage. And so she's right on a few things. It is not natural to be monogamous in marriage because, and God's word teaches this, And we know this to be true because in Genesis 3:16, it talks about how men and women are at odds in their relationship. So yeah, in our sin nature, it's going to be really difficult to be monogamous. And we know that God's word teaches marriage is a tool for sanctification. So that does not sound very pleasant, but it's a tool of sanctification where happiness is a byproduct and it's not the goal. And she mentions it's beautiful. And we know that as a Christian, marriage is a beautiful thing. She doesn't mention it. Oh yeah, she does mention it in this quote. She says it is beautiful, and we know that because it is a reflection of a deeper reality, a reality of God's relationship with his people. And so we know that it is beautiful because of that. And we also know that there is hope for a difficult marriage through Christ's atonement of our sins. So knowing apologetics and a worldview are going to help you interact with women who think like this. There is deeper reasoning, deeper meaning behind the observations that they are making. And it gives you a worldview to interpret their observations. And so that's as a wife, as a single woman, but also as a mother. As a mother, how can, and some of us in here may be mothers one day, some of us may not, but if we are, it can help us to make disciples of the next generation. So one powerful example that I've heard of apologetics being used is oftentimes women help children through the educational process. And one thing children are constantly confronted with is the idea of creation versus evolution. So being really wise about knowing that, well, you'll be able to help your children navigate the waters of that debate. So that will be helpful for you. And now as college-age women, How are apologetics helpful to you as a college-age woman? So this is a unique time in your life where your main goal is learning. So my encouragement to you is that you would take advantage of this season and learn why you believe in God and why. Your peers that do not yet know the Lord are in a similar place. They are in learning mode as well. And this is the time to share truth with them that could change the very trajectory of their entire life. So this is the time, and I just encourage you ladies to know why you know things. So the next question that we are going to address today is this. How do I engage the culture with apologetics? So the first thing I want to encourage you to do is to observe. It's to observe the culture. And I put down look, listen, and question. So when we observe, now we see this example to us in Scripture by the Apostle Paul. He was a great observer of the culture that he was in. When he was preaching before the men of Athens in Acts 17, he observes the idols that they worship. That's a pretty classic example there. We see him using the phrase in 1 Corinthians 6 about a common motto to plea for morality amongst the church that he was in. And that phrase is, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. And food is meant for the stomach and stomach for the food. So these are things that were commonly said in his day. And these are things that he chose to use as a teaching tool. And then he also said that he would become all things to all people in order that he might save some. So that was in 1 Corinthians 9. So he used observations about the culture to help his teaching and his witness. And we can use this same technique. So the question today is this. Are you a good observer of culture? Are you a good observer of not just the culture at large, but of your local culture? What are your beliefs? What are the beliefs of those that you work with, of those in your classes, of those in your family, of those with your friends? And how are those beliefs being expressed? Those are things that we need to find out. Now, James Sire, he wrote this book called The Universe Next Door, and he presents us with 7 questions that help define what your worldview is. And so when we observe culture, what are we supposed to be looking for? What are the things we're supposed to be asking? And these are great questions to be asking. So what is prime reality? What is really real? So as a Christian, we're going to think God is really real. He is the really realest real of the real. Okay. And then what is the nature of external reality or the world around us? Well, we believe that it was created by God. It was created out of nothing. What is a human being? Well, we think that human beings have value because they are created in the image of God. What happens to a person at death? Well, we think that believers go to heaven and non-believers go to hell. That dictates a lot of what we do. And it also talks about what happens with sin and what does God do with that? What is it possible, is it possible to know anything at all? Sorry, that was a typo. Is it possible to know anything at all? And we can know things because God has revealed himself to us in his word. So we can know things. How do we know what is right and what is wrong? That is God's law and his Holy Spirit. And what is the meaning of human history? And as a believer, we say that it is to reveal God. So if you are trying to understand a person, if you're trying to understand the culture that you live in, this is a great place to start. What is the culture saying? An answer to these 7 questions. Now, where do we look for these clues? Let me back up a second here on the slides. Where do we look for these clues? And we can look for these. You could probably just think of some automatically, so I don't think I'm going to tell you anything that you probably haven't figured out already. But we can look for these clues in conversations with people. We can look for these clues in music. We can look for these clues in TV and social media, in religion, in public education curriculum, in higher education curriculum, in popular books, in children's books. These are places to look for this that exposes what people are really believing. And I want to give you some observations that I have made myself. And these are 2 questions that I also think that we should be asking. What is your generation asking? And what is your generation of women asking? What is concerning them about the world around them? So I want to just kind of give you some of my ideas, but at the end of our talk today, I'm actually going to give you a chance to chime in on this, because I came up with some things from working with college students, but a lot of you are college students, so I actually want to know what you think, what you've heard your generation asking, but these are some things that I feel like are really common that have stood out to me. This is why I hear your generation of women asking. I hear them saying, with so many options out there, how do I know that yours is the right one? Why do I need religion in my life? Why bother? Wouldn't it be better if there was no religion at all? Why should I listen to a God that puts boundaries on my sexuality or that limits me in so many ways? How is following God not giving in to slavery? That's great you found your truth, but I'm still looking for my truth. Why should I believe in a God that is like my father? Those are some of the questions that I have heard your generation asking. And I think at the very minimum, we need to be prepared to answer those questions. And another question that I have asked you is, what are unique apologetic challenges of my discipline? What are the unique apologetic challenges of my discipline? So this is a question I think that will help you. So if you are a nurse, you might need to be familiar with ideas about life and death. Those might be apologetic issues that you really need to be aware of. If you're studying to be a lawyer, or you're in the justice system in some way, or if you are a social, I can't think of the second thing, a person, and thank you, social work person. I don't know why that was not coming to my mind. Thank you, social work person. You might need to know, why do bad things happen to seemingly moral people, or what is God's idea of justice? If you are a teacher, scientist, doctor, you might really want to be familiar with the questions about evolution and creation. And as a teacher, you might want to know things like, what is truth? As a journalist, you might want to know things like, what is truth? And so we must know the basic answers to the questions that are in your field. So those are things that you need to observe and just be prepared at the very minimum to know how to answer those things. So that's the observation part. Now, how do I engage the culture with apologetics? Number two, observe critically. So not just that we observe and we look at all of these things and we see what are the questions that our culture is asking. We ask questions about the culture, but we must observe critically. We must observe in a way that we're asking, does what they say align with God's word? Does what they say align with God's word? James Sire also said in Habits of the Mind, all intellectuals are in love with ideas. Not all intellectuals are in love with truth. And so we need to be women who are in love with truth and making sure and seeing how does the ideas that are surrounding me line up with truth. And as Christians, our observations and thinking are marked by a submission to the authority of the word of God. That is what differentiates us from the world. And so we're going to be observers of culture. We're going to ask questions. We are going to observe critically. We're going to see how they compare with a Christian worldview. And we're going to ask questions in dialogue. Number three, how do I engage the culture with apologetics? We're going to ask questions in dialogue. So I thought this was so helpful, this book, and I just want to recommend this book to you ladies. It's by Mary Jo Sharp. She is a woman. She is in apologetics ministry, and she works at Houston Baptist, I believe. And she has written this book called Defending the Faith, Apologetics and Women's Ministry. And this was so helpful, and I read this book as I was preparing to talk to you ladies today. And she brings up several questions, which I think are just really helpful when you talk to somebody. Actually talk to somebody. So this is more than just observing and seeing things, but this is actually being in dialogue with a person. How do you discover what they believe and how can you address those? So she talks about the first thing we should ask is, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? So this gives you clarification or gives you the basic understanding and the facts of a person's position. It also helps to reveal the author's intent. So what do you mean by that? So they may be saying something and just say, hey, so what do you mean by that? And then why do you believe that? So you're asking the why question. Why do you think that is the truth? This helps you to see the reasoning behind the person. Other ways to ask why questions are, why do you think that's true? Or why do you find that to be the case? Or even why don't you believe in God? Asking why questions. And then asking how. How do you know that? Or how did you come to that conclusion? This uncovers the evidence that they use to come to their reasoning and beliefs. So we're asking what, we're asking why, we're asking how. So these are just things that as we interact with people that we might be sitting down with at a table at Starbucks over spring break, that we might be having the opportunity to ask about their beliefs and ask these questions to them. And we can also ask the who, when, and where question. So if you notice, there's a theme here of who, what, when, where, why. So there's a few more questions left that you can ask. Who, when, and where. So who is the author of that information, or where did you learn that from? I personally love asking that question, where did you learn that? Because it's just interesting to me. Sometimes they learn it from their family. Sometimes they get it from social media. But finding the source is always really helpful to me. And then when did you start believing this? Maybe they just started that month believing something that they're kind of testing. Maybe they've always believed it. Maybe they started believing it when they started attending a certain school. So these things all give you clues to knowing how they've come to believe what they believe. Now, I think these are great questions to just keep in your mind. The next thing is, how do I engage the culture with apologetics? Number four, engage those ideas. So we have observed critically, ask questions in dialogue, and now we're going to engage those ideas. So we actually want to dialogue with people and get to know them and actually exchange ideas. But there are some common mistakes that we can make during the process of engagement. I just want to bring them to your mind. So the first thing is that we might be tempted to have a canned answer where we just preach to them the points we want to make, rather than actually engaging with what they've said. this might come because we're nervous and we're like, okay, I know this is what's true and this is everything I want to say. Here's all the Romans road. Here it is. I have this message prepared. Here it is. Now, but that might, you are sharing truth and that's always a good thing. So I want to encourage you in that. That's better than nothing, 100%. But I think it would be even better of us if we actually listened to the answers to the questions that they gave and then tried to pick up on some things and tried to answer some of those questions that they may have had or talk about some of those points and say, yeah, that's a good idea. Or I thought that at one point in my life. There's all different things that we can do to engage them, but actually listening to what they're saying and engaging them on real points in their presentation of beliefs. Another huge mistake evangelicals often make is giving up ground. So it's okay to say, I can see why you think this way, or I thought that at one time as well, like maybe you thought that at one time, and you can relate to the questions that they bring up. And you may even admit that some of the questions that they bring up are really hard because they are really hard. That's why they have them, right? Like they might have some really difficult questions, but God is still the author of life and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And don't give that up because they have presented you a hard question. So we don't have to give up ground. And then another common mistake we make in engagement is not sharing because we feel like we have to have all the answers. I just want to tell you guys, it'll probably be impossible to have all of the answers. Now, I have been teaching classes here at Cedarville for the last 7 semesters, I believe. And I have taught a lot of the same classes. And every single time I teach, students bring up questions that I had never thought of before, or I never would have phrased it that way. That is just what happens, and it's great because that then forces me to think, wow, other people are probably thinking this too, and how can I address this? And that sharpens me. And so these questions are an opportunity for you to be sharpened as well. So don't be scared of them. Dive in head first with them and say, you know what? I don't know. It's okay to say, I don't know. I don't know, but I believe that there is an answer, and I'm going to research this, and let's meet up again and talk about this later. It's okay to come back at them again with an answer later on. So some possible transitions that we might have after we are engaging these ideas, after they answer some questions, these are some of the possible transitions you could give. There's probably a lot more. Some of you guys are really creative, and you're like, oh, this is what I usually say. But I think this is the hardest thing is to kind of jump into, okay, this is what I think, without being just like, oh, it's my turn now. Like, look how cool I am. So this is something that might be helpful to you is, well, have you ever considered, and throw out your idea, have you ever considered this? Or you have a really interesting point. How do you reconcile your idea about this with your idea about that? So that kind of gets people thinking. Now, probably some of you have some really good ideas that I did not address today. Okay, so that's kind of all I'm going to say right now about how do I engage the culture with apologetics. But I want to go to you personally now. What are the tools in my toolbox? What are the tools in my toolbox? Okay, if you were going to ask yourself the same questions that I just propose that you ask another person, would you be able to answer those questions? So the questions are, what do you believe about God? Why do you believe that? And how do you know that? If somebody were to ask you right now, would you be able to answer those questions? Those are difficult questions. Those are. And I think that we need to practice being prepared to answer that. So, and if you don't know, that's okay. Now is the time to start to learn that. And it's okay. It's okay to research the answers to those questions. And I want you to be able to figure out where you are with this. And so all that to say is I encourage you to now, at this point in your life, evaluate, would you be able to have a conversation defending your faith? Do you feel confident in that? And if not, let's do some things to help you with that today. Okay, so in the spirit of helping each other, I'm going to split you into groups of 2 to 3 people. So you can just stay at your tables if you want, if that's like easy, but you can just kind of lean to the people around you. But this is the part of our discussion today that's going to be very workshop-y. So, because I want you guys to be iron sharpening iron. And if you're like, yeah, I know, I don't know how to answer that question, that's okay. Just like be really honest, and then we're going to dialogue that. But I'm going to give you further instructions, but just kind of like position yourselves, go ahead and position yourself so you're like able to communicate with 2 or 3 other people. Okay. Okay, ladies, so I'm going to give you some instructions now. So first off, I want to ask you guys this question. I don't want you to talk about it in your groups for a few minutes. I want you to answer the question. I threw some of these out there at you, but what is your generation asking, and what is your generation of women asking about God, about spirituality, about religion? So it's kind of vague. What questions is your generation asking? What is your generation of women specifically asking? Go ahead and discuss in your groups. Okay, ladies, I appreciate you guys talking. Now, I want to hear from some of your groups. Like, what were some of the questions you guys came up with? Yeah, Majati.
So one of the things that we talked about was either where we got into this situation or where we need qualities. Like, with the feminist movement being really big now, Black Lives Matter reads Old Testament, you hear about, like, women are supposed to go to men's, or they're supposed to go over there. They're on their periods, or you know, they're supposed to do this, or they're supposed to submit. So, like, how's the actual equality for women?
What does equality for women look like in Christianity, kind of thing, or just in general? What does equality for women look like? That's huge. And what was the first thing that you said again?
Where was God in certain situations?
Where was God in certain situations? Yes, and that's huge. I mean, that is the classic apologetic question. Like, why do bad things happen? Yes, absolutely. What else did you guys come up with? Yeah, Angel. Why does there have to be a strict gender dichotomy? Yeah, absolutely. What else? Yeah.
You kind of mentioned the question of authority. So, like, of all these things, like, why can you tell me, like, this answer? Why is your answer to these questions even supposed to matter?
Why does your question have authority? Yes, that is, yeah, that's real. Yeah, what else? What else is your generation asking about God? Yes.
I think part of it is, like, what does it mean to even to have, like, a relationship, like, any kind of, like, what does that look like? Technology and even redefining marriage, like, what is, like, a part of, like, relationships? We say relationship with God, but I can't text him every day, you know, so what does that even look like, and how do you define it?
Wow, that is powerful. Did you guys hear that in the back? Yeah, what is what does relationship even look like today? What is that supposed to look like? That is huge. And can I just encourage you, ladies, that for everything that you said, the Bible has answers for that. And even if you don't know it right away, like, that now is the time for you to buckle down and do research and to know what you believe about those things. Because everything that you mentioned is so common. So I hope that you guys are thinking about this, are writing these questions down, and are just kind of prepared as like the baseline to be able to answer some of these questions. Yeah. Is there anything else you guys want to mention that you think is like, wow, this is a pressing question for this generation? Wow. Yes. Does God have any relevance to my life? Did you hear that? Yeah. God does have relevance. Yes, he does. He's relevant in every age. Yes. So, all right. So now I want to encourage you to talk in your groups about the second question up here. What are the unique apologetic challenges of my discipline? So some of you guys are in different disciplines, and that's okay. So you're going to learn a little bit about maybe what it's like to be a teacher, or maybe what it's like to be a communications person. That's okay. So go ahead and just kind of like brainstorm a little bit. What do you think are some just traditional apologetics questions in your discipline?
Thank you.
Okay, ladies. All right, let's share. I want to hear some of your answers. So do I have any, and I mentioned this already, but do I have any nursing majors in here? All right. So what did you guys come up with? So sickness, and why does that happen? Yeah, that's really true. Yeah. Anything else you guys want to add to that? All right. How about any communications majors in here? No. Nobody? Okay. How about teachers? Any teachers in here? All right, I'm just going to give you a free-for-all. I'm going to stop guessing because I couldn't even think of social work a minute ago. So, okay, so what did you guys come up with, though? Erica.
Well, like, in our group, like, we're all youth men. And so, like,
youth ministry.
Like, just experiencing, like, things in, like, different denominations.
That, yeah.
Like, crossing, like, Green Rock, a good point of, like, when that happens, you have to, like, experience, like, put yourself in, like, their shoes and really, like, understand, like, what, like, your, like, faith.
Right, yeah, that's a really great point. Yeah.
I have a question. Like, we have a WANA program or even a youth program where we have children coming to church, and yet they're willing to come and learn, but they don't, when they go home, they're not from a Christian family.
Yeah.
They're fighting against what they believe there, and then they go back to the family unit where they don't practice religion. So they haven't come to their mother and father versus.
That is such a challenge. Yeah. So I'm repeating this, by the way, for it, cause it's being recorded. So you were saying that a lot of children that come to church and you're working in children's ministry, that they are learning the truth at church, but then they go home, their home life is very different than that. So, yeah, so that is definitely difficult, and prayerfully the Lord will open a door to that family through that child, and I definitely think God can use children. I'll just say some encouragement for those of you who experienced that. I was actually a young child, and at 5 years old, I became a believer, and my dad was not a believer at that time, and I actually became a believer a week before he did, and he says that I'm one of the first people that shared truth with him, and he became a believer later on after people from church came and visited my house. So I definitely think God can use little children to teach their parents about the Lord. So that is definitely a problem. What else did you guys talk about, Angel?
I'm an English major.
English, okay.
And so it's interesting that I have to basically defend how I can be a Christian when the Christian different faiths and authors throughout time. I mean, there's a really contested literary space, like in Puritan times, like why did Puritans not allow, like, women to be publishers? But they were literate, and like why you did certain structures. So I had to really know the history and to be able to specify like what's in the Bible versus what was just a belief at the time.
Wow,
and
that's good.
It's like it's not Christianity that said you have to do this. It just happened to be like that's the way that community did it. Actually, what it said in the Bible.
Yeah.
And so here's this, and here's this.
So she's mentioning history. And the Bible may not always match up. So people don't always live like the Bible. So what's the difference between knowing what the Bible says and a community of beliefs that people tend to add? I think that was a problem in Jesus' day too, huh, with the Pharisees. So that is definitely was an issue for sure. It's a great point. Yeah. Yeah, Majadi.
So we're starting to use that here. And something that
okay.
we always get asked is just like, how do you mix psychology with Christianity?
Yeah.
And a lot of times people think that even in the Christian church, that psychology has no place in Christianity. So, like, it's a lot of not only with those that should have our backs, but with those that are outside asking, how can you be a Christian and a psychologist?
How can you be a Christian and a psychologist? Yes, that is huge. Yes, you are so right on that issue. Well, that is so good. Well, I want you to be familiar with your discipline and that unique set of apologetic questions that come up and that will come up throughout your careers. And so I hope that you are familiar with that and just to kind of feel confident in knowing the basics. And if you don't know now, my encouragement to you is do some research. Talk to your professors. Get some good books. Come talk to some of our Bible professors. answers here, and we can help you with that. The next thing, you guys, we're almost out of time, but I want to give you some time to think about this. What are the tools in my toolbox? Do you know the answers to these questions? What do you believe about God? Why do you believe that, and how do you know that? Could you answer those questions? So I want to give you a chance right now to kind of, in your small groups, just talk about that a little bit. Talk about, do you know the answers to that question? What would you say? And some of you, it's okay if you say, no, I don't know. I don't know how I would answer that right now. This could be a really great opportunity for you to learn from somebody else who might know and just get some ideas. Take some notes. Be like, oh, that was a great idea. Oh, I'm going to use that. Like, go ahead and just feel free to encourage one another. This is not an opportunity to shame or ignorance in any way or make you feel bad about that. Like, that's okay. Like I want you to for this to be a learning time. So go ahead and split up and talk about those three questions in your group. Okay, ladies, unfortunately, we are at the end of our time. I know we could probably seriously have like an hour-long conversation about each one of these, but what I hoped is that just the initial conversation may have pointed out some holes. Maybe you're like, oh, okay, I need to sharpen up on that. I know for me, I was like, oh, I had to think really hard, like, well, why did I come to that understanding about Jesus, about God? Like, so it sharpened me just thinking through this, getting ready for this talk. So I hope that it illuminates some areas that you might need to do more research on, might need to sharpen up a little bit for you. And I just want to say thank you so much for coming. I didn't say this before, but I teach in the Bible department. We have a women's ministry minor, so I teach the classes in that minor. I would love to have you guys, even if you just take electives in there, to come join us for that. We'll talk more about this, and I believe I'm teaching a class on women and evangelism coming up in the fall, so it might be a really great opportunity for you to learn even more and talk even more about apologetics for women specifically. But I just want to say thank you guys so much for coming out this afternoon, and I will be available for the next 10 minutes or so to answer any questions you might have about talking with women about the gospel. But I know that a lot of you need to go, and there is going to be a really great panel discussion coming up with some Ivy League folks, but hey, I think apologetics are great for us just, you know, regular folks here that hang out at Starbucks and Forever 21. All right, you guys are free to go, and I'll see my class on Tuesday and the rest of you on campus.